Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered Detainees Blog Talk Radio with your host, Leah Killing, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me, just call me a child of God. I'm very excited that you tuned in on this wonderful, wonderful Monday evening, one that we've never seen and one we will never see again. But praise God, we're in it. And so we have another opportunity to hear a on-time word from God and make the necessary changes if need be. Praise God. So if this is your very first time tuning in, welcome, welcome, welcome. Again, my name is Dr. Leah Killings, and some call me Dr. Happy. Well, most call me Dr. Happy. And it's because I have done what God has called me to do, and that is to try to live a life that is encouraging, one that educates, and then one that empowers. And so that is pretty much the marquee of this broadcast, that we say something that's encouraging, that we try to give you information. It may not be brand new, but it's something that you can take and further educate yourself on the topic, and then to be empowered to make the necessary changes, and then, praise God, not keep it to yourself, but empower someone else by sharing and helping them make the necessary changes. And so, again, if this is your very first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. For those of you, praise God, that have been with me in a couple of months, I'll be able to say 8 years, praise God, 8 years in the same vein. And it has been such a blessing to have most of you with me. I know that some of you may have only been with me for 7 months or 8 months or 8 years or 2 months, 2 weeks, whatever it's been. I know that you have been praying for me because I can feel the prayers. I know that you encourage me because you text me, you call me, and then you keep me informed on the things that are going on in the world so that I can seek God to know what to share and bring to this platform to make it better. And so I just thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do in the future. So I have to give you a major shout out. I also give a great shout out to Tammy and Jesse Store from the Omega Ministry Group, because without them, I wouldn't have known this platform was forming. And I'm grateful that they allowed me to be able to be part of the ministry, not only to do the broadcast, but to keep me focused and keep me in prayer, to keep me covered, and then to keep me inspiring to do what God has called me to do. And they do that because they lead by example. And it's not just me, praise God. There are other men and women, and praise God, I used to say teenagers, but praise God, they're adults, young adults now, but they're doing the things that God has called them to do. And so I'm so excited that God has blessed us all to be part of their ministry and to be fruitful from it. And so I will always give them a major shout out. Now, the biggest, the greatest shout out we have to give, that is to God. And like the song says in the beginning, when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And so I'm always grateful when I hear that song, because I know that no matter what I'm going through, when the doctors or when other people say no, it's temporary, because if God says yes, it's going to turn around. And so we have to be reminded, and we have to always have a praise on our lips and always worship, and then always go to him in prayer. So before we start into the lesson, we will go to him in prayer. So dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for giving us your precious gift of life. Father, we don't take that lightly, because not everybody woke up this morning, and not everybody had a joy of knowing you on their hearts when they woke up this morning. And so we just thank you, Father, for allowing us to know you, for allowing us to want to have a relationship with you, and then for giving us the tools that are necessary so that we can share with others how important it is for them to have a relationship with you. So we thank you for the word that gives us instruction, that gives us direction. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us the nod, when to go, when to stop, when to sit, and when to speak, and when to run, and when to walk. Everything that we could possibly need to know, Father, we thank you that you allow the Holy Spirit to dwell with us so that we can feel your presence, to feel you near to us. But more importantly, Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice that he made, because it makes all of this possible. Without his sacrifice and without the shedding of his blood, we wouldn't know the benefits of being close to you. We wouldn't know the benefits of reading your word. We wouldn't know the benefits of having the Holy Spirit. So we just thank you, Father, that because of his blood and because of the sacrifice, we not only can have have revelation and have an understanding of you and have a relationship with you, but we get to live with you forever. So, Father, we just thank you for blessing every listener on this line, whether it's tonight, whether it's 2 weeks from now, 2 minutes from after the broadcast airs, Father, that they go back and listen to the broadcast or to the archives. We just thank you, Father, for an inspiring word, that you will uplift us and motivate us to be more like Jesus, the example that he showed. And so, Father, again, we just thank you for every listener. We thank you, Father, for allowing me to become invisible as you become visible through my words, through my heart, through my mind, to share an inspiring word that is on time for each of the listeners. Father, we thank you that you are the vine and that we're just branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will have fruit, and that fruit will remain, because without you, we can do nothing. And because we remain in you and your words remain in us, we can ask what we wish and it will be given. And so we thank you for your word, for your way, for your will. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, when Empowered Detains Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. Now, last week was an interesting week because a girlfriend asked me to put some words to the word plan and how we can develop our lives to be more like Christ, to be more like what he wanted for us. And the plan was, the P was for prioritize, the L was for learn, the A was to apply, and the N was for nurture. And when we prioritize the things that we need to do, we first have to see God. But we put down the things that God brings to our mind, and so we just write them down. No rhyme, no reason, no spell check, just write whatever it is. Make you a full list and then categorize that list to make sure that you put them in the right categories, the right priorities that God would have you to work on those items first, second, third, however. And then if there's something on the list that we need to learn from, that we take the time to study. We may have to go back to school. We may need to take some classes. We may have to go to our school or Google, amen, and figure out what it is that we need to learn in order for us to be more equipped to do the things that are on the list that we need to prioritize to do. And then we have to apply whatever it is. Many times we make lists of things to do and categorize them, and it looks pretty, and by really pretty day timers, and I mean, they have now day timers that you can do stickers, and they, I mean, it's a world of things that you can do to make whatever you have to do exciting and look appealing. But if you don't apply what's on the pages, praise God, it's just a paper. And so we have to learn how to apply those skills and do what is necessary. You may have to learn how to apply them. We want to always make sure that we continue to do them. So we have to nurture those things that we've learned, nurture those things that we've learned how to apply, nurture those things that we've categorized that are important in our lives to make sure that we're better and that we're doing things according to the plan that God has destined us for. We all have a plan. We all have a purpose. But many times we get caught in our own way. And so tonight I wanted to stress why sometimes we get caught in our own way. And so if I had to title something, and sometimes I don't like putting titles on things, but praise God, because they have so many different meanings by the time God finishes. But it's, what am I standing in the way of? When we learn how to prioritize and then learn things and apply things and then even learn how to nurture them, sometimes we can stand in our own way because we're leaning to our own understanding. And so Proverbs 3, 5, and 8, I say this often because it's one of my favorite scriptures and my go-to scriptures, but I want to read it. It's not our topic scripture, but it is one that I want us to focus on. Is it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And so verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your bodies and nourishment to your bones. Now, one of the things that I think that God really wants us to understand in this proverb is that we have to trust the Lord in all of our hearts and not lean to our own understanding. What does that mean? When we lean to our own understanding, we do things that are not according to the plan of God always. Sometimes we look up because of his grace and his mercy, and he just kind of pushes us in that direction. But many times when we're doing things in our own way and in our own mind, we mess up. And when we mess up, we get in the way of blessings. And so when I say, what am I standing in the way of? Sometimes when we do things on our own and in our own understanding, we miss out on jobs. We miss out on promotions. We miss out on getting better grades in school. We miss out on finding the wife that we really want or finding the husband that we really want. You know, sometimes we were so busy trying to make things work the way we want it. We try to fix our credit. We try to cheat and do things according to our understanding, and we can lose the efforts that we try to put into to get houses and cars. And then it even goes from a spiritual standpoint, how we can manipulate and do things in our own understanding and prevent ourselves from being elevated. We can prevent ourselves from being healed, delivered, and set free. And then necessarily the things that we need is breakthroughs. And so in order for us to live in this system, because we have to adopt, we're not of the world, but we're in the world. And so because we're in this system, it is so important that we follow the rules that God has set before us, because we didn't make them. God made them. And because Adam did what he did, he allowed sin to enter in and to have a force to be reckoned with. And so if we lean to our own understanding, more likely than not, we're going to find ourselves in a path of sin, because we're going to follow what the world does. I do what I want. I do what I need. I get what I deserve. And under those statements, the clouds our judgments, because it's more important to our ears to say it's what I, and not necessarily what God is saying. And so when we lean to our own understanding, what does this really mean? It means that I know what I want, and I'm going to go after it. It means that I know what I need, and so I'm going to buy it. And if I have to manipulate my way to get it, I'm going to do what I need to do. And then if I deserve it, well, if I have to hurt somebody, amen, I'm going to hurt somebody. And so it's so scary, because we don't think that we do those things, because they're so subtle, and we don't realize that we're doing things to hurt people, or to put ourselves in positions where we're further and further away from God. And when all we really have to do is just ask the Lord for help, and then he'll be willing to help us. But praise God, it is so easy if we just stop and do what he told us to do in the first place. Trust in me with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Or better yet, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and everything you need will be added unto you. There's so many scriptures that will help us to understand how to navigate this life. And even those of us that are not completely in the spiritual, holy highways or whatever we want to call it, we can still use these principles to know that I'm not, you know, really into that God thing, but I mean, you didn't create yourself, so you have to follow some form of authority. Pick up the Bible and read it just for yourself and see if it benefits you. But those of us that know, we have to do better. And so one of the things that I love when I'm going through a situation, I'm going through a challenge, I always try to find someone to follow or someone to give me a spirit of reference from to help me in my situation. And so David happens to be one of my favorite examples. And a couple of weeks ago, my goddaughter, amen, got baptized and gave her life to Christ. Praise God, I'm so excited. But one of the things that he talked about was David, and it reminded me of the things that David struggled through. It also reminded me of the things that David was promised and the things that David walked in because he was faithful to God. And then because there was one time when I really was in love with David, his story, because I really wanted God to say that I was one after his own heart. So I did a lot of things to really change my lifestyle to be more focused on him. And because of that, praise God, I am where I am. But nevertheless, I still fall short and lean to my own understanding sometimes. And so I'm grateful that I studied the story of David, because it gives me one to understand that even though we try to do the things that are right, we sometimes fall short. But God's grace and his mercy and his love for us can help us get back on track. But sometimes we have to pay the consequences that come with it. And so when we think about how we get into certain things and how we struggle, like David, he became king. I don't know if you know the story, but so I'll go back. I won't read the whole story, although I would love to bring you all the way up to speed on David, but there's a lot to tell and I don't have enough time. But the part that I want to really stress on today to get us to our focus scripture is that David was chosen to be a king. And he was chosen, he was pretty much the runt of his litter, his brothers. His brothers were all good looking and, you know, had the big stature, and he was just a kid. And the prophet pulled him out and said, he will be king. And so because he knew he would be king, he knew the favor of God was on him. And so many people know the story of David fought bears and lions, and he became not necessarily a king, but he was a high priest to King Saul. And then Saul, you know, kind of got jealous, and then he wanted to kill him. And I mean, just so many things. He went to war, and he did so many things. But this particular, and then he did become king. I have to make sure I say that before we go into our scripture. He did become king. But even as he became king, I want to remind you and put us to up to speed that whenever I read stories in the Bible, and whenever I am definitely looking for an answer or for a solution or something from God, I always try to put myself inside the scripture to kind of get a feel, so it makes me, helps me understand. I can only imagine David. He was a teenager when he was told he would be king, and he's probably in his 40s or so at this point in the story. He may have been older, but he's king, and so he can have what he wants and do what he wants and say what he wants, and it's law because he's king. And so at this point in the scripture, he was supposed to go to war because this was the time that most kings go out to war to defend their territory. But he decided to stay back. And because he decided to stay back, he was, I would say, bored. And so he happened to look out on the horizon, and he saw this beautiful woman bathing on the rooftop. And so because he had arrived, so to speak, and he had all these things, he summoned for her. And so she had to come. And it's interesting that we don't hear much about what Bathsheba felt, how she may have decided not to, or could she have. At that time, you know, women didn't have rights, and so she had to oblige. She was married. And so she did what the king told her, and she laid with him. And so because she laid with him, they had a son. She became pregnant. And so because David knew that people would have known it would have been him, pretty much because most of the people in the palace and those that summoned for her knew, and knew that her son was away at war, that he had to have been the father of this baby. And so he had to clean up his act. Now, many times when we make mistakes and when we sin and when we fall short, it makes us, because we're leaning to our own understanding, we try to cover up those mistakes. We try to make sure that, you know, our sins are covered up, or our discretions are put on someone else, or they don't look as bad as what they are. And basically what David did is, because he knew what he wanted, he knew what he needed, he thought he deserved it, but all of that came with a price. And so, but he went for her, and he had her, and then he got her pregnant. And then to keep his lie secret, he had her husband come back from war, hoping that he would lay with her, and then his sins wouldn't be found because it would be her husband, no doubt. But because he was so committed, and because he had integrity, and he knew that there were other men on the field that didn't have the opportunity to lay with their wives or have the pleasures of being at home when the rest were dying on the war field, he decided to sleep outside and not take part of any of the pleasures that he could have, because he had that much integrity that he didn't want to indulge himself, if you will, in the joys, because he wanted to get back to war. And so after he wouldn't do this, David sent him back to war and told the people that were in charge to put him on the front line, knowing that he would be killed. Now, again, remember I said, sometimes when we know what we want and we think we know what we need and we think that we deserve it, sometimes we'll manipulate things to make sure that the things happen in our way. And unfortunately, some of us even pretend that we're just helping God. We may not be killing people. We may not be stealing or robbing, but we're doing things that are not according to the plan of God, thinking that we're helping him. We're speeding the process up. And so we have to be mindful, because, again, we're leaning to our own understanding. And when we lean to our own understanding, we fall into sin. And when we fall into sin, praise God, we have to deal with consequences. And so sometimes, like he did, when we compound a problem, we have to add more, and we have to lie more, and we have to do more. And so in this particular case, that I love about this particular part of the story, is that David was faithful to God in many ways, and so he didn't forsake him. And much like most of us, when we sin and we make our falls short and we do things that are evil in the sight of God, he still gives us an opportunity to repent. And when we have the opportunity to repent, we should do so. But sometimes, like David did, his eyes were blinded because he had to cover up this lie. And so the part of the story that I want to read to put into your hearts, it starts with 2 Samuel chapter 12. And when we're going to start with the first verse. I'm going to read 1 to 7, and then I'm going to skip down to 13 to 25. So those of you that are reading, praise God, amen. Those of you that will go back and read, it's 2 Samuel chapter 12, and I'm starting with the first verse. And it says, the Lord sent Nathan to David, and when he came to him, he said, there are two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one ewe lamb and he had bought. He raised it, and when it grew up from him and his children, it shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now the traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for him who had come. Now this burned David up with anger against the man and said to Nathan, surely as this man lives, as the Lord allows this man to live, this man must die. He must pay for the lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. And then Nathan says to David, you are that man. Now I want to stop there because it's very important that sometimes when God sends people in your life to give you sound doctrine, it is important for those people to even be prayerful what to say and how to say to your friend or to your person of your loved one that they're going astray. Because sometimes when we go in our own way, again, leaning to our own understanding, we can make the situation worse or we can compound a problem. But if we seek God, God will give us the right words to say. And in this particular case, God told Nathan the prophet to give him a parable. And because of this parable, David couldn't even see that he was talking about him. And so it's much like when people are given, when we give advice and when we're receiving advice, we have to have an open heart and we have to have an open mind, especially when we know that the person that's sharing whatever they're sharing cares for us and loves us. And so many times we can turn a deaf ear because we're so caught up in what we want and what we want to do that we don't have an open ear and we definitely don't have an open heart. But praise God, David still had an open heart and he did have an open mind. But it had to be said the way that God designed for it to be said. And so I'm grateful that Nathan was committed to God and used the right words so that David could understand. Now, in David's case, a baby was birthed out of his mess. And sometimes when we do things and we do things that are not according to the plan of God, sins, blessings come out of those sins, if you will. And so sometimes we can believe that God's still blessing me in the midst of this mess, but we forget about the consequences. And my uncle always says that the consequences always outweigh the pleasure. And so sometimes we forget when we're so busy doing our thing and we think, oh, I can get this out of this and I got this out of this, that God is ordaining it and you have not led to him or you have not seeked him. You're moving in your own will. And so because the enemy wants to steal, kill, or destroy, a lot of times he'll allow you to think what you're doing is right. He'll make you believe that you're leaning to God's wisdom and understanding. Well, you know in your heart you have it, but somehow you justify whatever it is that you're doing to make what you're doing right. But I have to tell you that we have to pay for the consequences of our sins. Now, later in the story, it talks about how David, he lost that baby, praise God. Not praise God that he lost the baby, but praise God that, you know, God didn't take him. Because there was a lesson to be learned in this. We all know, or at least we believe, that when babies go, they go straight to heaven. They go back to the Father. You know, they haven't had an opportunity to create sins. They're born in the sin, but I believe they're covered in the blood of Jesus for that. And so, you know, it's unfortunate that the baby had to die. But that grief, it caused grief to both David and to Bathsheba because, amen, at the end of the day, a baby is a life. And when you, for Bathsheba's sake, to feel that life growing in her, regardless how it was conceived, it was still hers. And at that time, David had married her. And so in their minds, things are legitimate. And again, when we compound problems, when we compound sin, we can sometimes forget because we think we've gotten away. But God is the chief. God is in control. And he knows when we do things, whether and how the sins will be repaid. Now, I'm not saying that God is responsible for all the sins that are the consequences that we take, because some of them could be the devil, and some of them just because we violate the law of sin. But either way, God tells us repeatedly to not sin and to sin no more, to turn from the wicked way so that we're not caught in the snares of the evil one. But as long as we stay true to the things of the enemy and lean to our own understanding, we're going to have to deal with major consequences. And so if I skip down to verse 13 in the same chapter of 12 of 2 Samuel, it talks about after Nathan had gone home, the Lord had struck the child that Uriah's wife had born, that was Bathsheba, and become ill. And David pleaded with God for this child. He fasted and spent nights and lay in sackcloth on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused. He would not eat any food from them. And on the seventh day, the child died. David's attendants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was living, you know, praise God, he was laying on the ground and doing all this stuff, what can we say if the child is dead? I'm paraphrasing. Praise God. And then verse 19, God noticed his attendants were whispering among them, and he asked them and realized that the child was dead. And then they replied, yes, he's dead. David, this is verse 20. This is what the transition part comes from. David got up from the ground, and he washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes, and went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. He went into his own house, and he requested that they serve him food, and he ate. And his assistants asked him, why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. But now that the child is dead, you get up and eat. And he answered, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord might be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. So now, one of the things that I think sometimes we get caught up with is that we have to pay for our consequences. And so sometimes in the midst of things, again, because we're leaning to our own understanding, we think, if I steal something, I'm going to jail. But that doesn't always happen. And so when it doesn't happen, so what do you think? Somebody's going to steal from me? Because we're still in our own thought processes. If you having an adulterous affair, you know, so do you think because you've been forgiven and you moved on that now your husband has the right or wife has the right to cheat on you because that's supposed to be your consequence? No, it doesn't always work that way. And so sometimes we, again, get caught up to our own understanding and we don't really pay attention to what God has given. He's given us a reprieve. Okay, so you may not have gotten the consequence that you thought you were going to get, but praise God. Maybe if you do a little something different, like repent and change your way, kind of do it what David did. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about what he did when we talked about after the attendants told him. He got up from the ground and he washed, he put on lotions, he changed his clothes, and he went in the house and he ate and worshiped. Now, when we do things that we're leaning to our understanding, we get ourselves in a way, the first thing we must do is we must humble ourselves. We must humble ourselves like David did. We must humble ourselves and repent and ask God for forgiveness. Now, it said that he was laying in basically it was in sackcloth. So he was laying in ashes, wrapped in ashes, because he wanted to show God how sorry he was for doing what he did. And then after he had to pay the consequence of losing his child, by the time it was over, he humbled himself, he got up, and he washed himself. And so sometimes, again, when we do things and we know that we're out of order, if we humble ourselves, we need to to wash ourselves. And what do? We wash ourselves in the blood. We wash ourselves in the blood of Jesus because, praise God, because of his sacrifice and all the things that he took and bore on our behalf, it allows us to be forgiven and to be forgiven completely forgiven. And so when we wash ourselves, that means we're washing ourselves from it. Doesn't mean that we won't have to pay the consequences, but we're washing ourselves so that that guilt and grief and that we put on ourselves, God, it'll come to me. But how we make ourselves so grief-stricken that I'll never be able to do nothing again. All the condemnation, that's the word. Thank you, Lord. How we condemn ourselves, God is not about condemning. He convicts, but he doesn't condemn. The enemy makes us condemn ourselves to what we did. We went to our own understanding, so we was leaning to our own understanding, got ourselves in a particular way. And so we can still be humble and repent and then believe that the blood of Jesus has forgiven us and washed us. And then we have to sometimes anoint ourselves. It is so important that we anoint ourselves. I think sometimes we take that, we don't take that with the weight that it deserves, because we think of it as something that they do just at church or something that they do for communion or whatever we've seen. But anointing is really important through scripture. And how when we anoint ourselves, we are saying that we are yielding ourselves totally to God and that we want a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to come over us so that we can be renewed. Because again, you can wash yourself and the enemy can remind you, and then again, the guilt and condemnation can come upon you. But when you anoint yourself, it's another commitment that you're giving to God, that I am yielding to you and I'm not going to go back to that old way. And sometimes we think it has to be super deep, that the pastor has to pray over the oil. We can pray over our own oil. You can get oil. Olive oil is what they normally use in biblical times. And so most people believe it's an extra version. But I believe that in a moment when God is, you need to be real with God, you can use Crisco, some hair grease, whatever type of oil, amen, that you have. Because at the end of the day, it's an act of sacrifice. And so you yield. And normally what I do is I hold my oil up, I pray over it, and I ask God to ordain this oil that I've purchased whatever I'm using. Lord, allow this to be used to cleanse me and to purify me. Allow me to know without a shadow of a doubt when I anoint myself with this that I am pleased in your sight. And when you do that, I mean, just a simple prayer. And praise God, you can go to Google or you can go to the word, wherever you want to bless your oil. And then sometimes if you want to have your pastor or somebody pray over, amen, you could do that too. But nevertheless, God has given us the opportunity, because of the sacrifice Jesus made, that we can anoint our own oil and anoint ourselves and pray over ourselves. But sometimes we get caught up. Now there's, a great blessings when we are coming together as one, of course. And that's why the Bible talks about why it's important for us to come together, believers on one accord, because it is a more, what is that thing? The anointing is a whole lot heavier, I'll put it that way. Because I don't want you to believe that you just got to go to church to get anointed. No, you could do it at home. But there is a greater presence of God in amongst more believers. Because remember, his word says where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. So it needs to be a group of people to have a major presence of God. But praise God, he loves you enough that he will meet you where you are. And so I'm not saying that you have to go. It's a good thing to go. But praise God, you can anoint yourself. And when you anoint yourself, then you dress yourself. When you dress yourself, what are you saying? You are saying, I am putting on the new me. I'm taking that old, those sin clothes, what makes you dead to God. So you want to take those grave clothes off, and you wash yourself, you anoint yourself, and then you put on something new. Many times when I'm going through something, praise God, I'm going through something now, and I think that God has allowed me to see that I have to really go through another process, because I'm about to start another journey, amen. But praise God, in the midst of that, whatever it is that's causing war in my flesh, that could be something I'm not even aware of, something that I'm leaning to my own understanding, I'm going to have to repent.
And then I'm going to have to humble myself. Now, I probably won't lay in ashes, but I will humble myself and I will fast. And I'll make sure that once I'm finished with my fast, that I will wash myself, that I will anoint myself, and then I will dress myself. And then I'll be ready for the next journey that God has for me, because I'm going to worship him. And so when you do what David did, you humbled yourself, you wash yourself, you anoint yourself, you dress yourself in the newness of God, and then you worship. And then, praise God, later in the scripture, it talks about after he ate, he went to his wife Bathsheba, and they had another son, and they named him Solomon. And Solomon was is still the wisest person to ever walk this earth. And so you can still be blessed after you walked your own way. But the cool thing is that God is telling all of us to make sure that we not lean to our own understanding, but to trust him in all their ways. Now, one of the scholars that I studied years ago, and I found this in my book, and I thought it was so cool and timely that God gave me to add to our lesson on today, is that when Psalms 51, many of the Psalms were written by David, and they were written because he was going through certain things in his life. And one of the things that they believe that he wrote Psalms 51 in his process of worship and getting himself together from what he had done. And one of the things that I won't read the whole Psalms 51, but I suggest that you read it in your spare time. But verses 10 and 12 are really fascinating to me, because it sums up basically what he did. And it says, "To create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." And so it is so important that we allow God to create in us a clean heart, because what comes out of your heart comes out of your mouth. And many times what you meditate on goes to your heart. And so if you can clean your heart, praise God, when it comes up, it will be pure. And it will be renewed, and it will be steadfast, because you want to walk in the things of God so that you can have the blessings that God has generously already positioned for you. It's just a matter of us being in the right places to receive it. But because we sin and we lean to our own understandings, we stand in the way of our own blessings. We get ahead of God, or we're too far behind him, or we think that we're equal to him. And praise God, we got it. Although he says to walk with him, it doesn't say that we're equal to him. Amen. And so when we think that we are running things and that we control things, we are in error. And so when we're in error, when you find out immediately, don't compound the problem like David did by, you know, having the woman come. That was his first, but basically casting his eyes on her was the first thing. And then having her brought to his home against her will, most likely. Definitely it was because he was having an affair. And then he slept with her, and then he killed her husband, got her pregnant, and then tried to just kept covering up sin. We can't keep covering up sin. We have to recognize and ask God, what if David had turned away when he saw how beautiful she was? Now, amen. I'm good for saying folks is fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. For you. Amen. You can see. Amen. But you don't have to lust and have the allow your flesh to become so dominant that you start moving and, again, leaning to your own understandings. You turn away and go, "Lord, create me a clean heart, because, whew, I was thinking the wrong thing." You turn away. What if he had done that? What would have been the following steps after that? We'll never know. But we do know, because of history, that it did create problems, and it created many problems. It wasn't just that the son died, that he had to deal with the consequences, but he brought major havoc on his home. And so sometimes we think, again, leaning to our own understanding, that if I do this, this one consequence will come. No, you don't know what the consequences that will breed from that one sin. And so it's best for us to seek God always, and really stand on Psalms 51 and ask God to create in you a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within you, so that you won't be cast out of his presence. And that he, can you imagine if the Lord took his spirit away from us? I mean, I know I couldn't survive. I wouldn't want to survive. I know that his spirit covers me, even in the mistakes that I made, even the things that I fall short in, even when I lean to my own understanding. I am grateful because of David's story that I can remember, oh, Lord, I repent. Help me clean my heart, clean my mind, clean my tongue. Allow me to say the things that you want me to say. Allow me to do the things you want me to do. And the only way that I could do that is by going back to Proverbs 3:3-5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. When you lean to your own understanding, praise God, you won't submit to his ways. You won't follow the straight path. You're trying to be wise in your own eyes, and it just won't happen. And you won't bring nourishment. You won't bring fruit to yourself. You may think you do just because God's grace, he's going to allow us to breathe. Most likely because he wants us to give us the opportunity to get it right, so he's not going to cut us off completely. But praise God, you stand in the way of all the blessings that he has for you if you would just honor him, humble yourself. If you know that you've done some things wrong and you're currently doing things that you know that you shouldn't be doing, you have time, praise God. As long as you can still hear my voice, you can humble yourself and ask God to forgive you. You can then wash yourself in the blood. Now, mind you, sometimes I will do a spiritual washing where I actually take a shower and I pray over each body part that I wash. Lord, clean my eyes and allow me to forgive me for looking at things that I shouldn't have looked at. Allow me to wash my ears so that I can be forgiven for the things that I've heard or that I've even put in somebody else's hearing. Definitely wash this tongue if I've said anything that's contrary to your word. And then, you know, Lord, you know, bless my arms to not do anything to reach or do anything that's not according to your plan and your purpose. Forgive me, Father, for allowing my legs to walk me to places that I shouldn't be or do things that I shouldn't have done. Bless these hands and bless my feet. Praise God. And then after I'm physically clean in the natural, my prayer has spiritually clean me. And then when we talk about anointing, I have my oil. Most times keep the oil in my bathroom. And so when I know that I need to go through a spiritual washing or the anointing, I'll anoint each of those parts that I ask God to help me to cover my eyes so that my eyes will only see what you caused me to see. Cover my ears to allow me to only hear the things that I need to hear. Lord, cover my heart so that my heart will do the things that you've caused it to do so that my body will be in alignment and agreement. So when I speak, I'll speak the words that you called me to speak. And then when those thoughts come, praise God, I can cast those thoughts down that try to exalt themselves above you and do the things that you called me to do and be obedient to your will. Let my feet and my hands take me only in the places that you desire. And when you do those things, praise God, you are dressed for battle. You put on your armor and you worship God and you carry out your day, and you'll be amazed all the blessings that will be just laid at your feet. I know a few people have said since I've been going through my journey that, you know, I'm excited about the things that God is going to reveal, that, you know, because you've been going through for a while. And I'm like, I'm looking forward to, because I can't even imagine how I'm going to be repaid for going through all the drama that I've gone through since, you know, since January. I mean, I can't even imagine. And then I was reminded that we can't think or even imagine what God has prepared for us. So why am I, again, leaning to my own understanding, trying to figure that out? I can't. There is no way for me to fathom that. All I have to do is be obedient and stay on this path, and God will direct my path. And so if you're going through something and you don't quite understand, you can't do it in your own mind. You can't manipulate your way. You can't be deceptive to get your way, because look at what David had to go through. He was king, no doubt, and he had everything he probably could have wanted, but he still had turmoil in his home, and he lost a child. And granted, he had another child that was wise and great, but praise God, I mean, if you read the story of David, I mean, the son raped the daughter. I mean, it was a mess. And it was all because he opened that door to the things of sin. And so we have to be careful and we have to be mindful not to allow the things that the enemy lays at our feet to make us think this is something you want and something you need, something you deserve. If God has not said yes, then let it be no, because when Jesus says yes to, Nobody can say no. Nobody. And when Jesus says no, it has to be no. We can't manipulate God to make him say yes when he said no. And so my challenge to each of you today is that you got to have a plan. And that plan is to do the things that God has called you to do. And so if you haven't gotten your life in order, you need a plan. You need to prioritize whatever it is you need to do to get your life right with God. And then learn whatever you need to read, whatever scripture. Again, the Bible can be intimidating, that big book by itself. But I promise you, if you go to Google, you can use your phone. You can go to even people post on Facebook and Instagram, different scriptures of the Bible, whatever you need to learn, and then apply those scriptures and detail them to you. Like I said, when you have the plan and you prioritize, what do you need to rid your life of? Where are you leaning in your own understanding? Where are you being wise in your own eyes? And write those things down and ask God, Lord, show me how to humble myself so that I can be free from these basically demons, because they haunt you and taunt you so that you'll be like them. They don't want you to line up with the word of God. They want you to continue to lean to your own understanding. They want you to continue to walk in your own ways, because the more you walk in your own ways, the further you're walking from God. And so we don't want to bring destruction on our body. We want to do things that we can praise God and lift God and lift up the word of God, so that, like the word said, it will bring health to our bodies and nourishment to our bones. And even though it may not look the way we want it to look, we have to believe and wait on God, because he knows what we need and he knows when we need it. And I can tell you that, praise God, I have been challenged to the ends of the earth, but I'm grateful that God has Nathan in my life to reel me back in when I want to go astray, when I want to give up, when I want to throw in the towel, when I want to lean to my own understanding. And I believe in my heart that they seek God, because they always say the right things to put me back on the right path. And again, for those of you that are nations in people's lives, again, you got to seek God, because you can stir someone farther and farther away by telling them to do something that you think, because you're leaning to your understanding. Seek God before you speak. If you have to give anybody wise counsel, you got to get it from God. One of my mentors told me it's been about a week now, that when the Bible says don't cast your pearls to swine, it was because God knows that we're jewels. And if we just throw ourselves because we think we want or we think we know, we're leaning to our own understanding. And when people get our jewels, they don't know what to do with them. They're like swine. They step on them. They snort them. They play with them. They rub them around in the dirt. They don't understand the jewel that you are, the jewel that God created. And that's why you want to make sure that you protect your jewels, because God, we are made in his image and we're in his likeness. And so why would we be leaning to our own understanding when we should be following the maker, the one that created us? Because he knows what is best for us. He knows the path. He knows the plan. He knows our purpose. He knows our destiny. We just have to follow. Amen. Well, praise God. I pray that you have gotten something from this lesson. Please, please, please lean and trust in God so that you don't get in your own way, so you don't want to break up or miss out on something because you didn't follow God and follow him to your best. And so, praise God, I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song, Every Praise Belongs to God. And praise God, I'm learning that it's quite a few people's favorite song, so I want to make sure that I give you enough time to hear it. But again, make sure that you do what David does. You know, when you fall short, make sure you humble yourself, that you wash yourself, anoint yourself, dress yourself, and then worship the true God, because he will direct your path. Don't lean to your own understanding. Amen. Well, this is Leah Killingsworth, Empowered to Change, Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And I pray that you have all gotten something from the lesson and that you will tune in again next week. And so I am closing off with Every Praise Belongs to him, but I want to make sure that you remember that you have to start your day with prayer. You have to pray throughout your day, and you have to end your day with prayer. God bless you, and have a wonderful evening. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world.
praise.
Every praise.
Care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now.